Good morning. It is Wednesday, the Gareth Cliff Show live on the Real Network. It is just after 6 a.m. on a drizzly, rainy Wednesday, but we're not complaining. And we're also not going to talk about the weather. I have with me today none other than, and you may have already encountered this brilliant man on the Bounce show. You may have encountered him on Supersport. You may have encountered him almost anywhere that there is rugby to be discussed. Am I right?
Pretty much,
I think that's fair.
Pretty much at this rate.
Kutle Kuksongosi.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me. Early
sure,
start
man.
For me. I'm used to like afternoons and when I operate.
I know. I saw you. He walked into the office here. He's like, it's very early. You guys do this all the time? I'm like, But he was here. He was here early. He was getting ready. He was, there's something about the mornings. And like I bitch and moan a lot about having to wake up early.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something nice about getting up before everyone else, getting things going, figuring out the day, finding out what's happened while you were asleep, and other people are still waking up. I like that.
I think I don't mind it. I mean, I think I must say having become a sort of full-on content creator has kind of ruined my mornings because now like I'm becoming that sort of that that single mom sort of year, like I gym at like 8.
I always wondered.
I shop at like 9, 10. So now it's like getting back to normal society. It's like, oh, this is what life is like at 5 a.m. Like, I'm going to be so confused after the show. Like, when I get home, like half past 8, I'm like, now what do I do with my day? This is when I normally wake up.
So you go to gym whenever you can do whatever you like.
Yeah,
you're in charge of your life.
Went for a run the other day at 10 a.m. It was kind of weird.
Did people look at you funny?
It's quiet then. People at work. There's no one outside. So it's like
it's lovely.
Yeah, it's very lovely.
But so, you do look like they probably thought as they drove past you that he must be a single mom.
Yeah,
with a very very rich ex-husband.
Yeah, 100%. It's also like with my mates, I always laugh with them. If someone said to me in the week, like, when can you make plans? I'm like, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, brunch, I mean, if you want.
Listen, in some ways, that's the best thing anyone could wish for, to be able to just decide what you're going to do and figure out your own schedule. So we were talking just a minute ago about like the obvious question everyone's going to be asking you this time of year is like, have you got any plans for the holidays? Right. And both Cooks and I were saying, it's like, you want to kind of keep it fluid. I know there are lots of people who you only have a certain amount of time. If you have kids, for example, you've got this window that you've got to plan things in. And then everybody is on the road. Everybody's on the planes. Everybody's in the hotels, in the bed and breakfasts, all of that stuff at that time. So your prices go up and everything else. But I actually don't think I'm going anywhere until after Christmas.
I think it's so hard. Like Joburg is a funny thing because it kind of like clears out. Like I think our December basically starts in October and ends on the 16th of December and it kind of clears out and everyone goes home. And I do enjoy going home and I love people spend time at home, but I do enjoy the quiet as well as Joburg. I tend to, if I do go away, it'll be probably just before Christmas, spend time with family.
Mm.
And then sort of come back a bit earlier. If you come back like the 3rd or 2nd and you find out it's still relatively quiet here. And then it's like weird because it's all that mad rush of everyone's trying to go home at the same time. And they're all trying to go home at the same week. Everyone wants a long weekend.
But doesn't it feel especially weird in Joburg when it's not rushed, like in holiday time? That's where it's the nicest.
Yeah.
Because you can could drive around. There's no one like behind you going, come on, beep, 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 get the hell out of the way.
It becomes a very pleasant city, hey?
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, even the Metro Police go on holiday.
Everyone's on holiday. Like, restaurants aren't as busy.
Yeah, it's quiet. And it's chilled. It's very nice.
My favorite thing about it is how quickly it goes quiet. Because it goes from like, let's say like the weird, that 1st of December and it is chaos and everyone's and you're like everything's busy and then you go from the 16th and it goes quiet. There's no one here. Everyone's gone. And you're like
best.
There's a few schmucks just like hanging around working and you're going like, what's going on? Like there's
no one here. And everything's still open. So you can still go to restaurants, you still go to the shops, you can still do all the things that you would have done in the normal part of the year. And there's parking. God, it's nice. All right. So basically what we're telling you is we've decided we're not gonna go anywhere. We're sticking around for all of December, or at least most of it, and probably most of January as well. Bebop Williams says, city life is so crap. Everyone on top of each other all the time, except in December. Except in December.
Yeah.
That's when it's nice. Bitcoin Butt says, I've been awake since 3 a.m. starting my fire. Bread 5 and 6 is about to come out. Oh, yeah, he's got a bakery.
I was worried. I was like, is he braying at 3 in the morning?
Birds chirping at 4 a.m., listening to some of the latest news. It is refreshing. Listen, you get morning people, and you get people who are just not good in the mornings. I'm one who's learned to be better in the mornings. If you left me alone, like you can most of the week, I probably go to sleep late, wake up late. By late, I mean like 8, 9.
See, that's my issue. I mean, I think I've had sort of, from playing rugby, sort of, working a bit in the office, you could use the structure of waking up early. Like you said, you learn to become good in the morning.
Right.
But now, like sort of the last 3 years, where sort of that's sort of gone out of my system, like I'm going to say, I struggle to go to bed early because I know I don't have to wake up at 6 or sort of up as 5. So I sleep a little bit later.
But you sleep well?
I do sleep well.
See, my biggest problem isn't that I know I have to wake up early. It's when I can't get to sleep or I know I'm only going to get 3 hours because it's like 1 a.m. or whatever. And I can see the clock just ticking, right? And I think, I've got a busy day tomorrow and I can't start later. You know, like there's some people like you who are lucky enough to be able to adjust their clock. And I wonder how many humans even have the ability to do that because we're so used to being regimented.
Yeah.
You know, at school, the bell rings, you know where to be. You've got rules about this is on then, that's happening there. We kind of regiment our lives. And then if you end up in the situation you're in, which I do think is brilliant, some people will bitch and moan and say, that's actually really shit for X and Y. It's not, it's great. Just like enjoy every second of it, dude. I wonder how many people have the discipline, the self-discipline to actually build themselves a routine where no one else is giving that routine to them.
It is hard. I mean, I'll say it took me about a year to honestly get it right. Because I mean, I think I'll say 2022 and I started doing this sort of full time. And I remember the first 6 months, like not having to work on a Monday was like the greatest thing in the world. But then after a while, you're like,
you didn't hate Sundays anymore.
No, I didn't hate Sundays anymore. But then after a while, I was like, because like I'd have to like say shoot content on, I'd be like, look, I got to be in the studio on Thursday or the weekend.
Is this for your OnlyFans?
Yeah, it's for my OnlyFans. Yeah. And then I'm like, got to make sure the feet are looking good. So I got to
you got to scrub the heels to make sure they're not all cracked.
No, 100%. But then I got to a point and I was like, I kind of was like a March or April, May, 2020. I was like, okay, shit, Cooks, you can't actually just like waste a Tuesday because you're like, I worked last week Thursday, so I'm going to take like 4 days off. After a while, I was like, okay, I need to actually get some proper structure. Like, just wake up, go to the gym. Even if it's like working in like, okay, I'm going to send mails for about 2 hours a day. I don't work for like, say, long hours, but like you can't just like.
But you have to have a jungle gym to swing on, right?
100%.
Otherwise, because if your whole day is just bookended by sleep, and you can do whatever you want. And I've seen people spin out of control like this. You know, people who, for example, we all dream that we'll have so much money that we don't have to work.
Right? Yeah.
That's like the ultimate dream. And people go, if I just had, 20 million rand in the bank, I wouldn't have to worry. And I've seen very, very successful people. They stop working in their like 30s. If they've really done an extraordinary job, made a ton of money, they stop working in their 30s. And for that first couple of weeks, you can tell they just don't know what to do with themselves. It's also like when people get laid off from work, retrenched or whatever. You see them, they sit there and they're like, okay, now I've got the one thing I've never had, time.
Yeah.
I've now got so much of it that I actually don't know what the hell to do with it. And if you have time and money, that can lead you into some dangerous places. People who start, I heard an interview the other day with a guy and he said he was working on a sheep ranch in Australia, which is tough work.
Yeah.
But he said because that was all he had to do, he just had to get the sheep in the mornings, make sure they were all there, count them, send them out into X field or whatever. And he said that bottle of booze started to look better earlier and earlier in the day. See, so that's the kind of shit that if you're not disciplined, I reckon you can very quickly get into some bad habits.
You can easily spiral. Because the thing is, who's there to stop you?
Yeah, no one.
Like, there's no one there. So you just sit home going, that's what I used to find. Like, I used to be at home. You'd be like, okay, what to do today? And then you're like, someone's like, let's go for lunch. You're like, okay, cool. Now lunch. Now come home. But like, 8 in the evening, you're like, okay, just waste the whole day drinking. And it's like Wednesday. But eventually I was like, okay, I can't be operating on just some dates. But I think you're right, because if you don't have the structure, the discipline, you can easily sort of fall apart.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you got all this cash, you got all this time. And my favorite thing is like, I'm the worst, like, because I was like, I'm going to do so much reading when I got all this free time. Nah.
Never happens.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's not just you. It's not just you. Yeah, and don't beat yourself up about it, because I still think that you've got the right, like, set of circumstances now to be able to just do whatever works for you. And that can be very good. Like, you sound like a pretty disciplined person. So I'm looking forward to seeing how you're going to spend the December period too.
That doesn't fall apart.
Yeah. So JP says we all aspire to have lots of money and do nothing. What, like politicians? Yeah, something like that. Mapelo says in the comments, I'm having a debut appearance at court today as a plaintiff in an attempted robbery case. Any advice? Sure. Well, at least you're not the defendant, Mapelo. Yeah. That's a bit worse.
I think that's a courageous start, Jeff. As long as you're not the defendant, then I think it's a good place to be.
I think that's good, but just don't lie. Don't lie at all, even about some little thing. Like if they say to you, where were you at 11:35? No one remembers where they were at 11. No. Just say, I don't know. Because if you start bullshitting, you go, well, I must have been between the car and the office. And then they're like, but you don't have a car. And you're like, oh, shit. And you don't have a job. And then the whole case starts turning on you, and then you become the one who's lied, and then the person who's stolen shit, hopefully not from you, ends up getting off because you started making stuff up. And we can't help it. Human beings fill the gaps, right? So if you know that you got to work at 9 and you know you left your house at somewhere around 7, and all you can think of is like, I remember I was driving, or I was in like a taxi, or I was in a bus, or I was some, but don't make it up. If you're not sure, just go, angaz, because otherwise you're going to be in trouble. Just say, I don't know.
It's tougher to spend a Wednesday morning. Jeepers.
Yeah, it's the only advice. Yeah, listen, I mean, it's an adventure, right? Again, as long as you're not the defendant.
That's like, guys, I'm starting my day.
Kingsview Safari says, I played an old boys soccer game with Cooks at Woodridge. He scored a belter top bins to win the final game. Is this person high? Proud of all you achieved, Cooks. That's from Jono. What is a belter top bins?
It's a great goal, basically.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's like another language.
Yeah, that's not still half an athlete. I'm down to a quarter of an athlete now. So
I don't know, dude. Sounds like you're pretty fucking good.
No, but that was a couple of years ago. What was that, 2017 or 18? We had a bit of a, you know, soccer tournament when I was still teaching. And lots of beers afterwards.
Yeah.
Especially after scoring the ball to top bins.
Where were you teaching?
At Woodridge College, just outside, 35 km outside of PE.
So very just good.
Before I did this.
There's some really good schools in this country that I've never heard of. Like Woodridge. I mean, it sounds like a really cool place.
Yeah, very cool place. Like it's very like naturey. Like it's like built on like a nature reserve.
Oh, nice.
Very like outdoor.
Our nature reserve was when something was killed on the highway and then rolled off the highway near to the fence of the school. We could all watch it like as it decayed.
No, it was a proper like nature reserve. It was like back around the school, and it was like a proper like outdoor education school. I mean, like I remember when I got there. 2016, and I was like for sports, it'd be like, okay, you're taking the grade fours out cycling. You're like, I haven't ridden a bicycle for like 10 years. They're like, yeah, good luck. And you're like, oh, you're taking, like, oh, you're going camps. And like, I'm so used to, like, you know, you're still in a bungalow or things like that. Like, no, but here you go. Here's a campsite, tents, teach the kids how to put up tents. And like, and my favorite thing in my first year is when the guy was explaining to the kids how to put up tents. Like, I sat there as well, like, there you go. Right. This goes in here. So it was proper like outdoor, like learn how to canoe. No, it was proper like outdoor education.
They didn't
education
give you the
school.
Crash course. They're just like, you're doing this.
Yeah, it's like you're doing this, and you're just like, oh
shit.
No, it was proper. It was a great school.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
sounds
it was
nice, dude. Okay, so here's someone who's talking about Trump winning in America. Says, here's how it's going to happen. America will put their 220,000 Bitcoin that they already own on the strategic reserve. Expect a price of 1 million per one Bitcoin by the end of 2025. Do you really reckon that's going to happen, Bitcoin Boots? I mean, I know that many people who'd predicted Bitcoin was going to fall apart have been kind of discredited now. But do you really think if you get to 1 million and by the end of 2025. That's quite something. I mean, that would be, I think a lot of people in the crypto who've invested in the crypto market would be thrilled.
Ooh.
Imagine that, hey?
That's next year.
Yeah. You suddenly have $1 million.
Oh.
Because you bought one 10 years ago for, I don't know, how much must it have been then? Maybe $10,000, $20,000. Yeah. Now it's suddenly $1 million. It's just been sitting there, just chilling.
Oh, that's a...
That's a good return.
That's a great return.
Yes.
But people are going to rush over and try to capitalize now. But wow. It's probably like...
No, don't go now. Yeah. It's not going to be the same if you try and buy it now. It's going to cost you a fortune. Woodridge is a great area halfway between PE and Jeffreys Bay. Cool nature, says Patrick. Okay. All right. Very good. So I've got a couple of things to show you here that I thought might entertain you so early in the morning. First of all, there are places in the world which you can't even believe exist, right? The beautiful places, like we were just talking about this place near PE. Who would have guessed anything pretty would be found near PE? usually when people talk about PE, they're
are you
like...
Are you still banned in PE?
No, I've never been banned. That was a funny story, though. I mean, we kind of helped spread the story because I said it was the armpit of South Africa long ago.
Yeah.
They've never forgotten it. They still hurt. They still hurt. I get like middle-aged... old white ladies who come up to me and they go, I will never forgive you for what you said about Port Elizabeth. I've lived there all my life.
Maybe that's what maybe that's Kobeka now.
They can't pronounce that, but they're like, I will never forgive you for what you said about Kobeka. And I'm like, lady, calm down. But they did tell the mayor, and this is like, I don't know, 20 years ago now. They said to the mayor, there's this guy from the radio who said terrible things about PE. And then the mayor spoke to the newspaper. He's like, well, we're going to ban this guy or whatever. I never could. You can't ban someone from going to a city. It's a free country. Anyway, I was going to fly there. And then I was going to go and make an apology to the mayor. But in return, I wanted the freedom of the city. They said no. So they just told me, fuck you, man. They're like, get out of my house.
See where they drew the line. They're like, we'll take the apology, but just can't give the freedom of the city.
Ah, you stupid idiot. Get out of here. Anyway, so this is a place. Apparently, it's in China somewhere. Now, I'm absolutely blown away that places like this exist. It looks like a giant hole. Someone, in fact, said it looks like God's toilet. But isn't that magnificent?
Jesus.
So that's a big, that hole in that mountain, and that's high up, right, in China. It's caused by water erosion. So inside of that, there's a whole ecosystem. It goes down, I think it's a kilometer or more into that hole, and then they've got waterfalls in there, and there's plants and animals that they don't get anywhere else.
People go down there.
You'd have to pay me a lot of money to go there. This looks like it's pretty dark, but I mean, doesn't that look like a pretty wild place for a villain to have a lair in a James Bond movie?
Yeah, it's like a private school version of the Big Hole in Kimberley.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's way prettier than that.
Yeah.
But can you imagine building your secret villain's lair in there? I think that would be very cool.
Yes, that looks amazing.
It is, huh?
Jesus, spectacular.
Pretty wild. So I saw that and thought that was quite cool. Okay, then, because we like nothing more than to see hillbillies fight, this came into my feed yesterday. In fact, someone who listens to the show sent me this clip. It's very hard to figure out what's going on here. It's hard to figure out why they're fighting. They probably don't even know. Yeah. If you had to sit them down afterwards and say, listen, you hillbillies, what's going on here?
They probably wouldn't even know.
We started when his sister said to me that she didn't know want to eat my cornbread no more. I said, you're lying, bitch. And then she attacked me with the garden rake or whatever. So here, you can take a look at this. I don't know what's going on. We will take your theory on what you think is happening here after you've seen the clip, and Cooks will go first. So you try and interpret what's happened here, because I don't even know who the main characters are. Go ahead. Just a good old boy. Look at them. So they start off. Okay. Wait, what happened? Froze. He gets a fucking gorilla wrench.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, now he's going to... The one with the hat's now going to take on the one with the stick. But there's another one, that one there, who's now picking a fight at some other chick, who it seems is just walking past. goes at him with a stick, can't get a good shot in with the wrench. Now the guy with a black jacket on seems to be just fighting with everyone.
Please tell me, that's a, is it a car?
Oh! Look. Okay, he tries to dive in. The other chick is being pulled out of the front. I mean, I don't know. Like, and now he throws some shit out of the car. Now he gets in. I don't think it's his car. They're pulling the other girl away. By the way, we're only halfway through the clip now, so this is, takes a lot of interpretation here. Now, she claps him. I mean, if that even is a woman, who knows?
Oh, no.
She drops her bag. Oh, it's going down. Oh, it's going down. I want to figure out what, okay, so listen, it's very hard to, so there's a guy with a hat who eventually gets the gorilla wrench from the back of his truck,
which normally should end any fight.
Normally, yeah. If someone pulls one of those, you get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And there's a dude with a stick, like you can see it's like slightly crooked, so it's got to be a stick that he picked up on the ground. Okay. And there's that dude who looks like he is ready to fight with everybody. The guy in the black hoodie.
Yeah.
He seems like an older gentleman, if gentleman's the right word. And he wants to fight with everyone, including the girls. And there are two women, as far as I can tell. The one woman is sort of orange colored.
Yeah.
So she must be a Trump. And then there's another woman who looks like, I don't know whether she was passing by or whatever. But she gets pulled in, and then eventually she's the one who gets into the car. The guy with the hat does a foot-first dive.
Listen, that is incredible.
That's quite something.
That was something.
I could not do that.
But he didn't...
Sideways.
Started straight through the window. I mean, yeah. I saw the new Mission Impossible trailer
yesterday.
There's
only this much left of him outside of
like
the car.
Like when Tom Cruise does it, he makes 7 movies out of it. But like when he does it, it's called a hillbilly.
Right. I mean, I'm still trying to see what's going on. And then, you know, the guy with the stick doesn't get in a good shot.
No.
The guy with the wrench definitely doesn't get in a good shot.
This Someone is amazing. This is incredible.
I mean, wow.
This looks like a, I mean, pretty
and
much.
And the orange woman tries to pull him out. Look.
I wonder if the other lady tried to steal the truck. If she did, she's a terrible at, because she was in the car forever before the guy jumped in.
And yeah, she had a lot of time
to just like drive away.
I don't know what's happening there, but I do like it. I mean, it's very entertaining. Sometimes you just want to sit these people down after a clip like this is made and say, all right, from your point of view, I know that this doesn't matter. You know, it's not like whether or not the economy is going to improve. Whether Mapelo's court case is going to go his way today. Like, there's important shit in the world.
Yeah.
This is not important, but I still want to know everything.
Yeah, 100%. Right? She's like, I mean, imagine I would love to be the person, the few people like driving past and just being like, because you get a few like, what's going on there? I think there's a fight. Someone will definitely have slowed down.
On the highway here?
Yes. Like,
nothing nearly as exciting as that has to happen.
Yeah.
And people get totally consumed. They're like, I've got to find out. They pull over. They put on their hazards.
The thing is, like, I mean, obviously, like, I mean, to be fair, you got to love to watch the Bulls play. I mean, that's sort of a sight you kind of see quite often. Just take away the wrench and just add a few plastic cups of brandy and Coke. That's pretty much what you see. But the person I fought for the most was the person that just looked like I was walking past.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I think, I mean, most guys are sort of, you know, if you've been to a nightclub, sometimes you've been there before where like a fight breaks out and somebody just happened to like bump you while they're fighting. And as you turn around, you're like, oh, now I'm in the fight now.
Now you're involved.
Yeah. Now you're just like,
I'd still get the hell out of there.
Yes, always.
Nothing good will come of this fight. You're not going to rescue a princess. Do you see those two women? No, they're not princesses. Okay.
There's a wrench?
There's a hillbilly with a hat and a wrench. It's going to end badly for you. You don't get involved in this.
Rather just jaywalk.
Take your chances with traffic.
Yeah, 100%.
Somebody says moonshine. Grant, he says that's moonshine. Some alcohol or drugs are involved for sure. There's no way those people are sober. They don't. I don't think they've been so. They've got fetal alcohol syndrome from like their third month of life in their mother's womb.
And that looks early in the morning as well. Doesn't look like
it does. It looks like it could be. It could, they might even be busy from the night before.
Yeah, right. Still trying to make it home.
They're wearing their Sunday best. No, I know it doesn't look like it, but that's what they got. Proper Gender says they had to club together to afford the bucky, and they all want to use it for their own errands at the same time. Oh my god,
that would cause a fight like that.
Yeah, that's why you don't have kids with your family members, says Jason. God bless America. Percy says they're oil protesters. Just stop oil. When your mother and sister is the same person, says Bushwell Put. Jesus.
I always love these videos, especially when they come from the States. I mean, it's a massive country.
Yeah.
But it's like the same guys have got like Tesla. That's also happening in the same same country.
Don't you remember there was that fight that happened in Midrand in some estate? It was like some fancy estate, and the guy had a sword. No, seriously, he pulled like a sword out of his car, and then they were all like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, and the other one's like, no, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And these are like, these people had nice houses, they looked like they had nice cars, could not behave themselves. Doesn't matter, you could take all the money and give it to people, or you could take none of the money and give it to people, they'll still behave bad.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Oh, man, that's funny.
This country is very entertaining, too. So it's not just the hillbillies in America.
Yeah.
We have our own.
No. Yes. We rock and roll as well.
I mean, you mentioned Loftus and the stuff that happens thereafter or before a game. Because those guys start, and I mean, it's been years since I was at Loftus. You're the expert on this one, Cooks. The last time I was at Loftus was probably about 12 years ago or more. And I remember, because I was still... I knew Pretoria really well, but those guys would arrive with their buckies at like 9 a.m. on the day of a game. The game is maybe at what, 3? Maybe at 6?
Or 5, 3, 4.
Somewhere there. Yeah, they start drinking and they set up a makeshift braai, because you've got to have the shisanyama and you've got to have the puza.
Yeah.
Right. So as long as they got those two things, they're happy. But these guys start early. And let me tell you, it's been a while since I've done like a serious day of drinking. But, you know, I find I get tired by like 4. If you start drinking at lunchtime, by 4, you kind of finished, you know. You're like, I think I can go home now. Or you want to have a little sleep. Maybe if I had the energy that I had in my 20s, it would be different. But I reckon day drinking, you get tired earlier. You can't push through the whole night. Now, if your match starts, like you said, at 5, you've been drinking since 9.
Yeah. And then then your emotions have been heightened up. Now, obviously, like, you got 2 hours of aggressive drinking, because now you're inside the stadium. You've been drinking the whole day. Now it's like aggressive drinking for 2 hours.
Yes.
Then now, if win or lose, like if your side loses, and then it's, all that anger comes up, because my thing is funny. Like, never mind Loftus, like, if you go to Ellis Park, because the funniest thing for me is always like when Joburg sort of comes together. Because like Joburg, like if you're in the north, you sort of, you know, you do all the stuff in the north, you go out in the north, you restaurants, you have that stuff. You know, go to the rugby, like Ellis Park, and then the whole of Joburg comes together.
Oaks from the south.
Yeah, where you sit there, and you see all these fights break out, and it's like the most like, you're like, yeah, this is why we shouldn't actually be together. Like,
I also think it's partly because if you're day drinking, you just to keep your energy levels up, you have to have a fight.
Yeah.
Or something. That's what the guys do, right? So in order to find reasons to stay awake, you almost have to look for trouble with someone.
And then the adrenaline flowing.
And then anything the guy next to you says, like if his braai is a little bit too close to yours, or you think he's stolen a piece of your burvos or whatever, you're looking for a reason.
But you said you're tired. To the dude. Listen, but it's the same thing. Like, if you're tired, it's easy for you to get upset about something.
Oh, for sure.
Now you've been drinking since 9 o'clock, and like the last thing you want to do is like spill a drop of beer, like on my forearm. Have to fight.
Hey, why did you do that?
Since that was my
what friend. Do what? You dropped some beer on my arm. And suddenly you're those hillbillies and that clip. The wrench comes out.
See, exactly. But at least with us, you know, it's the most damage it causes a plastic cup of beer. Like, that's the most.
Yeah, well, only because they stopped giving us glass and, you know, they stopped. When did they? That just quietly happened.
Yeah.
They were like, no, we can't trust these people with glass bottles. We're only going to serve beer in plastic cups. Right?
I think it's a good sign. Talk about, I mean, I had a hillbilly fight. I had a mate of mine almost get kicked out of Ellis Park this year at the rugby.
What happened?
Again, so the one guy, we was chatting to this one guy. They seem to be friends one moment. Like, you know, a stranger just comes up to you, like at the rugby, hey, bro, love you, go Boca. And then I was chatting to my mate, my other mate. I turn around and these oaks are having a full-on fight. The one guy said, I think I took my phone. Now it's this whole thing.
Shit.
And I'm thinking, okay, like, let's separate this fight because number one, like the security is coming. I'm going to get kicked out. I don't think you really want to be outside like Ellis Park. Like you're like,
hell no.
What, kicked out of the stadium?
Are you expected to stop that fight because you're a bigger guy?
I just stop it for I just want to get, yeah, I think also that happens.
I think they look at you, they're
like, you're like, oh.
We can't, if we misbehave around him, yeah, he will fuck us both up.
They're like, so, I gotta stop it. So it's like, anyway, the fight's going on. And in my mind, all I'm thinking is, I just really need to get back to the second half.
Like, oh, so this is at halftime. Yeah, shit. Half-time. Okay, all right.
This fight happens. I'm like, oh, right. This is what happens in the rugby again. Like, I was like, this is what Joe, but just cannot be together. Because that fight happens at a bar. It's like,
sure,
it's a conversation. Hey, man, I don't have your phone.
Right.
Like, because we've been drinking for an hour as opposed
to. At the rugby, it's an event.
Yeah, and you've been drinking since 10 a.m.
Like, you guys become the main event. Right. So here someone says, usually the fight starts when someone steps on your white sneakers. That happens for some people.
Yeah.
To be fair, on one end of our country, we're finding Homer and a lady and going heart and doing heart transplants. Somewhere else says, Carl DeSantos. He says, somewhere else, people are swimming in Bucky's, sipping brandy at 7 a.m. Have you ever seen a bakuzi?
No.
So a bakuzi is where they take tarpaulin and they put it in the back of a Bucky and they fill it with water. And all these fat people from Pretoria West get in the back and they're like, they wallow, they it's like a soup of people.
That's the idea, a thing. That's a great.
Not great.
But like, please. I don't think it is a great.
No, dude, it's horrible. And only in Pretoria. I don't know if people are still doing it, but it was a thing. A bakuzi. A bucky jacuzzi. Huh? Yeah? Just when you think this country can't get any worse, there's someone out there going, yeah, this weekend we are going to get the bakuzi out. Fuck. I'm telling you. Anton says that's in Bloemfontein. Well, don't know. Then Gareth has strong flight instincts, says Slippery Pickle. Listen, I don't know if it's flight because there are certain situations where you don't have the option to get out. But if it's a bunch of drunk, stupid people that I'm not involved with, that are not friends of mine or whatever. I mean, if your mate wasn't involved in that argument that you told me about it at this park, you wouldn't have got involved.
Oh, no, just carry on walking.
Yeah, carry on. And like, when people shout, there we go, there's a buck. Jesus, look at those oaks, hey.
Oh, my word.
Oh, they're having a time. I can imagine nothing worse than sitting in that. Imagine how that water, imagine what it looks like and what it smells like.
And I think like the bakuzi, maybe the start is great, but after like 3 hours, you're just like, I feel like I need to get out of here.
That's disgusting.
Did the same jacuzzi rules apply to bakuzi? Like, oh,
I'm sure there's some extra rules that we don't even know about. Bakuzi, how Toyota are not tapping into this market? I don't know, but they should be. I mean, they should make it permanent. I mean, some of those buckies, they do have that waterproofing stuff in them, so you might not even need the tarpaulin. Who knows? Yeah. But someone sat at home one day and thought, that's a great idea. Let's go to Loftus like that. And they would have had to take the water somewhere else. They would have had to bring it, or they would have had to find a tap or something. Because you can't drive with that. It's going to be sloshing around the whole time, and most of it will come out.
Be very annoyed if you're behind someone in traffic.
And they've got a bakuzi.
It's like, just like splashing on your bonnet. You're just like, are you kidding me?
Imagine, you're like, you're just going to work.
Yeah.
You're doing a normal.
It's like beer on your window. You're just like, what is
that? There are three oaks. Those three oaks in that picture. They're sitting there. Hey, how's it, the biller? You're like, okay, no.
You can shout at them, but they don't care.
They don't give a shit. Like, come and have a drink. No, it's okay. Fucking drunk people are the worst. Hey,
you're sober,
Oh, wow. Look at this. In Equatorial Guinea, says Sugar Shabalala, there's a politician who's had 400 plus sex tapes. Sure. Wow.
Whoa.
You know, just when you thought 2024 was closing down on a pretty good
Trump's
win and the P. Diddy list, which we still he says we're going to see it, yeah. By the way. I mean, I want to see that list. Huh?
That's a very that list is going to change.
You reckon they're going to update it some?
You think people are scrambling and scrambling? Because I mean, if you know, for example, like you're on that list,
Like J-Lo, the way she was crying when she was campaigning for Kamala, you could tell. J-Lo's like, oh, for fuck's sake, please, what do I have to do to not get the list put out? Yeah. I reckon they passed J-Lo around like a beer in a bakuzi at one of those P. Diddy parties because she was crying, man. She's like, you ought to vote for Kamala Harris. Like, why, J-Lo? I'm going to tell you, just do it.
Just do it.
Because she promised me she won't put out the list.
I wonder what that guy's list is.
What, but this guy that Sugar's talking about.
Tapes. That's crazy. It's the tapes. How is there so many?
I mean, 400 sex tapes. So they're 300 days.
It's like 400 too many.
They're 365 days in a year. This guy, if he did it over 10 years, then I'm trying to do the maths here. He was having sex at least once a week. And filming it over 10 years, I'm being conservative here. Like, no one has time to do this every night for a whole year, you know, and then still you've got.
Maybe it's like a big thing in Equatorial Guinea.
Equatorial Guinea?
Yeah.
I mean, really? That's where Teodoro Obiang Nguema is in charge still, isn't he? I think he is. But man, imagine that 400 sex tapes. That's the guy? That's the guy who made the sex tapes? Are you sure we're not defaming like our former Minister of Telecommunications or the guy who's taken over as Director General in tourism or something? Are you sure? Yes, that guy made 400 sex tapes.
That's one way to use your power.
Jesus. When are you going to watch them? You know those people who go away on holiday and then they come back and they want to show you their pictures? Yeah. Or they've made a movie, right? Yeah. But it's shit. No one wants to see you visiting the Arc de Triomphe, okay? No one. People don't even want to. I don't look at my old pictures that often. Okay, so maybe once every when I'm on a flight and I'm clearing out photographs that I don't want anymore. And I think I've got, let me check how many photos I've got in here. But the point is, someone records themselves fucking 400 times. When do they get the chance to watch any of that again?
Do you think it's like performance analysis?
There's 10,000 photos on here. That's quite good.
I think
think he's like, he does
a video session.
Right. So like you guys do on Supersport. Yeah. You're like, well, if he'd only come in a bit earlier, then got the oak at this line, then he would have been able to tackle him in time.
There's no other reason to have 400 or not. It has to be. Like my thing is like, do you compare? It's like, you know what, on tape two
when I was doing the pile driver.
Yeah, I was 20 minutes in tape two, but I've got up to 40 minutes. But here's like the change.
Right.
Only if it's like coaches as well. Like, listen, coach, like, listen, this is sort of because in 400
so,
is
so. Why did you do so badly on Tuesday? Well, you know, I didn't really have breakfast that day, and I was pretty tired from the night before when we filmed the previous one. So I reckon that's what it was.
Do you think that the camera quality increases from like the first one to the 400th one? It's like in 4K.
I don't understand. Like 400 sex tapes. You know, if you've got a weird kink and you like to make a sex tape every now and then, 400, that's going, where do you even, it's digital, obviously, right? So he's storing it he's got like a big USB that he puts 400 sex tapes. How does this even work? And has he got the permanent camera set up like we do in the studio?
I think so. Because in 400, again, once you hit, I think, 100, that's just who you are now. Like, it's just like, like there's no hiding it. You're hiding the camera.
That's who you are now.
Yeah, it's just like a camera's there. It's like, you don't get there before 400 and be like, okay, maybe I'm going to start setting up a camera. It's like, it's just permanently there.
I don't know. It's there. If he gets fired, he can have his own porn channel. Yeah, I'm sure he already does. If you see his dick, you will understand.
Tumblr
says, if you see his dick, you will understand, Gareth. So obviously this guy's got a major, major, like, monster schlong. Got a big fucking baby's arm holding an apple. A big penis.
Who's on penis patrol to make sure the guy have how thick he's going to be?
Tumblr, I don't know how you know this. This is... I mean, this is news to me. I just found out about this dude now, and you've already seen his penis? Jesus.
It decided it's worthy of having a
listen.
460.
There's people still talking about the Bakuzi, dude. Sorry, we can't leave that alone. We'll get back to the guy in Equatorial Guinea in a second. Bitcoin Boots says lots of old man farts creating the bubbles in the Bakuzi. Bonehead soup. Oh, that's disgusting. Grab your floozy in a Bakuzi. No, now we've even got advertising ideas.
Yeah.
Do you deny a Bakuzi invite? You'll get murdered if you don't. So if someone asks you to join them in the Bakuzi, I mean, I'm definitely saying no, even if it leads to trouble.
I think I probably got I can have a beer in there. One. And eventually I'd be like, okay, I think it's time. Like after a while, like
sitting. But now think about it. You've gone to a rugby match.
Oh, no, not a rugby game. I'll probably like do a Bakuzi, like if you...
What, like in the driveway? Just think about it. It's not like you park it in the front yard.
Yeah.
It's in the fucking driveway. So they look at those oaks. They've got a bribe Bakuzi. They are wallowing. Look at the color of that water, man. It's like...
I need to see a woman inside of these things.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's revolting. You're right. There are no women. Which is very suspicious. It's like a party at Michael Jackson's house.
Yeah. It's just like...
One's got a bride. You see the oak behind the bride even? There's a little man there. They're not cooking him. He's actually sitting... This one's got the gas bottle
look
at, check.
Look at the color of the water.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's good.
It reminds me of, you know, when you drive on some roads, basically all our roads, and we're water dams.
Yeah.
It's that color.
Yeah.
So those guys... I don't know if they just used a bucket and got it from one of those puddles on the side of the road.
There's a lot. Look at the rust on top of that bucket. There's a lot. That's not a great Bakuzi setup.
I don't think that's here, though. That looks like it's in America.
No, 100% America.
Look at the rust on the roof there. That's here. That's here for sure.
That is full on here.
You know, you can tell the oak. Look at the tan.
Oh, yeah.
On that oak there. It's got a vest tan.
Tattoo, obviously. The tattoo there also, the other guy says, that is full on.
I am surprised by in this picture is that they don't have the balls hanging from the toe bar. Yeah, blue balls.
Yeah.
Yes, this dude. And you have to talk to these people at rugby matches, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to meet them. I saw you doing this one a long time ago where there are all these people out at halftime and you have to ask them what they think and how's it going? And I thought, you are brave, and you deserve.
It is. It's the Wild West.
Every cent they give you for that shit, that is the worst job in the world.
It is. It's the Wild West because it's fine. I mean, the thing is, I always say it's easier as you sort of arrive. Like say, I said, start doing interviews and 2 hours before the game.
Sure,
that's still fine. It's when you like get closer to the game. Now you're dealing with the guys who've been in Bakuzi since 10 o'clock, and those guys. And all you want them to do is like, hey, do you think the boxing win today? And they can't. They're not even speaking words. And then like, then you walk around, and especially if you walk around with a microphone around like a stadium, and it's just like oh, I've got to talk.
They see
I've
you.
Got words.
Yeah, they see you from a mile away.
And they're like, I want to be on TV.
That's right.
Like, and you're like you're too drunk to be. And they're like, no, I'm fine. And you can see like your eyes are looking. Like,
yeah, the one eye's going this way. The other one,
And you're like, we've tried to do a couple, and you're just like, whatever you do, please do not swear. That's why, for example, like some of our interviews that were like on live anymore, it's like pre-recorded. So you can be like, okay, let's grab this one.
So you can actually get rid of the really bad ones. Yeah. You don't have to have them on TV because they're the oaks there who you can tell are like, these are professional drinkers.
Yeah.
And they've been at it for a long time.
Should be nowhere near a microphone.
And when they see that camera or microphone, they get excited. Hey, like, this is my moment to shine.
And then it's my worst has always been a smile. Because especially like me, bear in mind, I haven't had a drink yet. I love a beer. And then, but you're dead sober and you get a beer breath and it's like, and you're just like, oh.
Those guys have no idea of space.
Yeah.
They're right up here in your face.
Yeah.
They're like, oh,
you can be like an arm's distance and they'll push your arm closer. They're just like, oh.
Fuck, no. I don't know how you do it, man. Whenever I see, says Janet, a Bakuzi, I imagine them singing that song that one weird guy sang for his Idols audition about the Ferroro. Basically a butt crack song. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll take your word for it. James and Flex, do a Bakuzi invite for Gareth and Ben, Sugar says. Like designer. But don't you and Flex do Bakuzis?
Yeah,
of course you do. There we go. That's what you do. They do before us, yeah, before the show on a Monday, they get together.
I pay good money to see Ben in a Bacuzzi.
Jesus. Okay, so apparently the story about the Equatorial Guinea guy is 2 to 3 weeks old already. So we've only just found out about it now. I had no idea. Other videos are in his office. Some are in his house. This guy's been busy, man.
His office. So he's efficient. So his base has got like probably more cameras than like what, 2 or 3 cameras?
Ah, I mean, Tabo says again, Tabo's the expert on this story by the looks of things. All I can tell you is...
He's the correspondent.
Look, he's reporting. All I can tell you is that guy fucks all the ladies seem to be consenting to and someone married. Jesus. He must have something. I mean, we heard about the big penis, but he obviously has something else.
The power as well?
Power. He must be important in Equatorial Guinea. I mean, 400 video. So let's just think about this for a second. Even if you're a guy who's you're skilled beyond belief and you have powers that most average men do not. 20 minutes ago, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you've got 20 minutes for every session. 20 times 400. We're dealing with thousands of hours of sex videos here.
Oh,
I just can't believe the amount of trouble.
Don't forget the times that probably it isn't recorded as well. There's those ones as well.
Yeah. He goes to court. Like, so the one woman who complains is, why'd you spoil my fun?
Yeah.
He gets to court. He goes, listen, Your Honor, I want to tell you, those were the ones I actually recorded.
Yeah.
Most of them I forgot to press record.
Like no one records their practice. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, guy only records the serious sessions.
400, that is ridiculous.
He must enjoy the idea of having it on film, says that Don Kitty. Adds to the experience. Even if he doesn't watch it back, knowing it's recorded is a turn on.
Sounds like another expert.
Sheesh. Yeah, I think that Don Kitty knows what they're talking about here.
The correspondent.
Imagine, Sugar says, take 3 laxatives before a Bacuzzi. Oh, that's horrific. I don't know, man. People got weird stuff that they do. Filming yourself having sex, Bacuzzis.
I don't know. I still think the 400 plus 6 tapes is incredible. I think the Bacuzzi is one of my biggest takeaways.
Give a man a medal and let's move on, right? Yeah, like, give him a medal.
Bacuzzi is still, it still leads the charge of the best thing I've heard this morning.
Who knew? Okay, that's something I had. I'd never thought that Bacuzzis would be so interesting. And it all came about because we watched a hillbilly fight.
Yeah.
So you see, life is good.
100%.
All right, time for the window seat. Let's do this. So I'm going to bring in a guest for this morning who we haven't had on before. Solomon Ramafalor, who is a VIP senior consultant and also at travel.co.za. Of course, this whole thing is brought to you by travel.co.za. Solomon started his travel career at SAA Reservations, worked his way through the industry, collecting all kinds of awards and accolades en route to his current home at Tourvest Travel Services and travel.co.za. And he looks after the VIP leisure clients, the important ones, right? These are the big important ones.
Yes, 100%. I'm not.
Am I important?
Yeah, you are.
Wow. Okay, Solomon. Thank you.
Everybody's important at Travel2Cause. I mean, everybody that comes to my desk. Cook's very important. Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. Important, man.
So just tell me, like, because people always go, I would love to be in the travel industry. You know how it goes, right?
Really?
A lot of people say to me that is the job that they wish they had. They want to be in the world of travel. They want to know how it works. They know that there's a lot of hard work that goes on before you get to do the travel. But it's not easy to break into this. It's not easy to get a job in that environment. And you really have to know what you're doing.
No, absolutely. I will say, Gareth, I was very, very fortunate. I broke straight out of high school and that's where I was picked up from. So, you know, I went straight into the SAA Reservations. It was run by a different company, which specializes in BPO. And, you know, that kind of founded my experience in the travel space, you know, from the airline background, obviously went into a bit of some travel technology and TMCs and holiday making now. So, this is quite fun.
Well, it's not by mistake that we've decided to have you here this week because the end of this month is Black Friday.
Absolutely.
So Black Friday, I know this is everybody's favorite time because then they go, okay, well, there's some specials on. I've got to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips for us before we get into some Black Friday specials about what there is, what you should look out for, what you shouldn't be doing at this time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I do have a list of do's and don'ts just in general in terms of Black Friday. So I've done quite a number of different Black Fridays, travel expos, and I know a lot of people, it's Black Friday, the big deals are going to be up, they just want to spend. That's the big thing.
Mm.
But always, my first tip is rather have an ideal destination and budget, you know, always. It's like, you know, you want to catch a Black Friday deal if it's like a bucket list destination or something you've always wanted to do, you know?
Okay.
Like, you know, I think that in most cases, and some of the popular destinations is what you want to look out for. But if it's a bucket list destination, something that you've always wanted to do, set a budget, plan around it, you know, chat to your travel companion.
In other words, don't just go online.
No, not at all.
And just go.
Don't wake up on Friday and be like, oh.
Like Cooks and I were talking about our December plans. We're like, oh, well, we'll see what happens. Don't do that when it comes to spending money.
AKA, don't set it up like a bakuzi, right? Yeah. Like, don't just wake up one Saturday morning and decide, let's do this, right? So it really is important. The reason why I say that is, you know, you get such good deals, you know, time and again for Black Friday. You don't want to book just for the sake of FOMO. And, you know, if you do that quite often, you'll find yourself in a situation where now you can't travel. Things have come up. Now you have to make changes. You're paying for changes. And that's not the whole point. If you're booking a Black Friday deal, you want to book, pay that, and just look forward to the holiday. And you don't want to kind of have to keep making amendments and stuff. So, you know, that's kind of part of my do's and don'ts. I'll give you a couple more tips.
Just also, by the way, before you give us some more tips,
yeah,
just because you're paying for it on Black Friday doesn't mean it happens now.
Yeah.
You could be buying a Black Friday deal for like next year.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then it's something you've paid for. It's sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah.
It's like an investment almost. An investment in terms of you eventually getting that holiday that you deserve.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people have worked very hard this year.
It's been a long and hard year. Absolutely.
Give us some more of your tips.
I think a lot of people deserve holidays this year. And let's talk about this coming Black Friday, right? So let's talk about that because it's practical. It's, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
Sure.
And we want to find out, you know, people are probably asking, December's coming up and I want to go on holiday. Generally, a lot of your Black Friday deals are not going to be for, you know, December or for this coming December. They'll probably be for the next year. So
got you.
Tip number one, of course, again, plan it, but plan for the next year. You know, kind of to think about it.
Yeah, if you've got a baby on the way, probably not a good idea. If you've just found out that your wife is pregnant, now is not the time to book that holiday for March next year.
Listen, I'd still say chat to us. Let's see what we can do in between that. Because we've sent a couple of people still on holiday, you know, pregnant. Because there are, you know, kind of, you know, rules to it. Only at a certain point, you can't travel if you're pregnant. So we can still make the exception and find out for you if everything is good. We can still send you and your wife on holiday. I mean,
plan a boys trip.
Imagine going on holiday before you give birth. You know, it's like you've gone off, come back now, a lot more calm. Things are a bit more relaxed.
Maybe.
And the strain comes off of you.
I've never given birth, so I don't know. Have you cooked ever?
Not yet.
No, okay. We're just checking.
So that's one thing that you need to think about. I mean, December holidays, you'll probably find a couple of deals come up here and there. Once again, don't book out of FOMO because then you'll find yourself in a bit of a nickel.
Yeah.
For December holidays, just in general, prices are a lot more than the rest of the year. So if you do get a deal that's a Black Friday deal for December, do understand that it's not the best deal.
Yeah.
All right. It is a good deal because of the rates that December normally carries, but it's not the best deal. So think about whether it's worth going on that particular trip in December or put your money away and go during the year. So what a Thailand holiday would cost you, for example, in December as opposed to traveling in May or June is probably three times more in December.
Three times?
Yeah, absolutely. So you could get flights for like 11,000, 12,000 rand to Thailand in May, June, July.
Okay.
But if you switch that to December, I've seen now recently fares going from 24,000 rand to 30,000 rand. So
is it because of demand?
Because of demand.
More people on holiday, more people can go.
Yeah, absolutely. So flights fill up quite quick. We've got some of the popular partners that we deal with quite a lot. And you know the popular carriers that normally fly. Qatar is one of our big partners, of course. Emirates is one of our big partners. So those are like popular airlines where, you know, they've got so much reach in terms of the routes that they travel. And so everybody wants to be on that airline. Everybody wants to be on there because there's comfort. You know, there is this status thing. You know, we are a country that loves fashion. So I want to be on Emirates. I want to be seen landing in Dubai. You know, I want to be seen traveling in style. You know, so that's kind of what Emirates and Qatar has done for South Africa. It's given us a lot of style and this, I guess, flamboyant feel to travel in general.
Sure, absolutely.
So yeah, I think back to, again, plan it very well. You know, if you wanna travel, plan it very well, because you can get a lot of value for your money. It just depends when you're traveling. You know, 30,000 rand can get you a holiday in December and can get you a holiday in May. But what are you booking? You know, where are you going? And you know, the rates in December, like I said, are a whole lot more than
I'm
what
just,
you'll get.
I'm wondering
in June
about you, you and your job, because you're the VIP leisure travel consultant.
Correct.
You have to help these people who didn't think about it and didn't plan it.
Absolutely.
So they call, then they call you and they're like, oh, Solomon, I need you to help me. I've made a terrible mistake. What's the worst case scenario? Is that someone loses all their money on these things? Does that happen often?
No, it doesn't actually
really
happen
bad
very
planning?
Often. I don't. I mean, we in what we've adopted in our side is we've adopted a sales process which comes down to qualifying a client. So when you come and sit in front of us, we're not going to just book your holiday. It's not just, oh, you want to go to Mauritius? Let's book your holiday. It's more qualifying you. You know, trying to find out what's your budget. Where do you want to go? You know, when do you want to go? Who are you traveling with? What's your style, you know, in terms of accommodation? Do you
so
go three-star, four-star, five-star?
You sort of force them to think about it and
exactly.
not just make a spur-of-the-moment decision.
Spot on. I'll give you a typical example. Every so often, if somebody comes to me and says, I want to go to Mauritius, I say, what's your budget? And I go, oh, no budget, because generally you don't know what the price is, right? And you say, no budget. But I've booked people to Mauritius at 150,000 per person or state for 7 nights. Then I've booked somebody else for 25,000 rand a stay for 7 nights.
Yeah.
So if you really say you don't have a budget, you can see the vast difference, right? So we get down into those factors, right? So when I'm asking you these questions, you know, what are you traveling? You're traveling economy or business class? What type of style would you prefer? It starts triggering, you know, certain responses that then has me going, okay, it sounds like 30,000 rand would be good for you. What do you think? Then you've got a position where you're sitting in a space to say, approved, yes, happy.
Yeah.
I can pay 30,000 rand, or I can pay a little bit more. Or no, 30,000 rand is too much for me. So that helps us kind of cater not just your holiday, but your destination even.
Yeah.
Because you could be thinking Mauritius, right? But your budget is only 12,000 rand per person. And I'll go, maybe Mauritius is not a great idea at the moment, or the dates that you're looking at traveling.
Can we try
Zanzibar? It's still an island holiday. It's in the Indian Ocean. It gives you the same feel as almost Mauritius, but you know, it's not Mauritius.
Yeah.
Would you love that?
Where's your favorite holiday, Ben? Because you've traveled a bit.
Yeah, I went to Mauritius at one of our partners is Beachcomber. So I went to Mauritius and I stayed at Beachcomber Shandrani, an all-inclusive package there. And all-inclusive is all-inclusive.
That's the Puza package.
So unfortunately, I stopped drinking in October last year.
Oh.
My last drink was the World Cup final.
That's a good way to
absolutely ham.
Wow.
So I stopped drinking and I felt like there was a little bit of a waste, but you know, I'll make up for it. So hopefully sometime in the future.
You've taken the wind out of my sails. It's like someone who works at Tourvest and doesn't drink. I'm just gonna have to process this.
An all-inclusive resort.
I know what you're saying.
It's a very tough world to be working at Tourvest and not be
you
drinking.
Imposed this rule on yourself.
I did. It's a little bit of a challenge. You know, I've gone on a series of personal development plans that I've been playing around with to try and challenge myself. So that's one of the things. So it is a bit of a crazy time to implement it, but why not? You know, a little bit of discipline wouldn't hurt. So
100%.
Percy says, have you ever gone, 12K, maybe you should look at Port Elizabeth.
No. I mean, we don't discourage travel at all.
Like, well, how about Quebec? Yeah. Interested in that? That could be quite nice.
To be fair, like if I was going there, I'd be gutty. Like, hey, listen, I've got this trip. I just really want to go to. So let's be like, maybe let's think Garden Route.
Okay. Oh, we can get you a room in Wilderness.
Yeah.
No. I've had some really ridiculous ones. Like you get a. No, I want to take my family out in December. It's September. I want to take my family to a resort in December. There's 18 of us.
Sure.
And what's your budget? Like 30,000 rand. And I'll go,
You can go to Johannesburg in a Bacuzzi.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Maybe we might have to try and get a 20-ton like, something, you know?
Like, I can accommodate one person. Like, other 17 is going to be...
No, definitely.
What you guys are going to do.
just show me which of your children you're going to leave at home.
Yeah.
The list is going to be long.
Okay, so that's just about some of the do's and don'ts, but preferably kind of plan, you know, plan to the T as much as you can, you know, try and find out and get information, chat to your travel companion, because when you book a Black Friday deal, you kind of want to be locked in.
Yeah.
That is the big part of it. You want to be locked in and you want to know it's all done, and that's about it. And also, you know, Gareth, travel is back. Don't think that, you know, I have to put down 20 grand and book this holiday. Come through to us, chat to us, let us give you tips on how you can put on a deposit, you know, put down some part of it and you know, pay off the rest. I've just had a friend that's booked a Maldives package.
Yeah.
They paid 106,000 rand, two of them, but they didn't pay that in full. They've literally paid it off over this year, and they're traveling February next year.
Oh, heck.
Seven nights, Maldives.
Well, at least the deposit is 106. I'm like, yo, who's
the
friend?
No.
And if you're friends with this person.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
If you're depositing 106,000 rand, then why are you even traveling on that expensive holiday?
Sure.
So,
trip around the world.
Yeah. So I also wanted to just, you know, kind of touch on a couple of popular destinations. Maybe
go on,
let's
do it. Yeah, some of these might be Black Friday specials on travel.co.za.
Exactly. So some of our partners will probably be dropping specials for Black Friday, and some of the popular destinations. I mean, I'm going to start off on the other end of the world. Far East Asia is a big destination. Your Bali's, your Thailand, your Singapore's even, and probably touring of Japan. Japan has come up as a destination, very, very big. So if you want something a little bit outside the, you know, the ordinary, and you've done, you know, quite a bit of the city holidays, beach holidays, and you want something a bit different, Japan is a good destination. So keep a note on that. And then Europe is still a big destination. You know, every summer in Europe is popular. Mm. People are always there.
But winter?
Winter is good in Europe, but it's more like your ski holidays. A lot of people do skiing in winter, or they'll do like the Northern Lights expedition, you know.
Right.
That's something that is like, you're there for the Northern Lights, really. Mm-hmm. You know? But it is a bit of a pricey holiday, I'm not going to lie. Oh. So plan for that if you're going to do something like that. And it needs to be something that you really want to go see the Northern Lights. You're not going to just travel there for nothing, you know. And we've got ways to work it around where one of our partners has a guarantee for the Northern Lights. So you travel and they'll guarantee that you'll see the Northern Lights. There's a way that they do it. So they don't make them happen.
Some guy sitting there with lights trying to arrange
with lasers up in the sky. Yeah. No. So they've got a way that they do it where you do a cruise, and it's better when you're cruising because you're out of the city and you're on the waters and there's not much, you know, pollution of light, you know, into the sky. So they will guarantee that you see the Northern Lights.
That's cool.
That's pretty nice. So, and of course, ski holidays. But Europe summer is big, and touring is big, cruising is big for your travel in summer for Europe. And it's a vibey destination over that period. You can obviously couple that with the North America. Their summer as well. It's a good time to be there as well. They go quite wild, you know, when they're there. And then of course for us Africans or South Africans, Indian Ocean islands are popular destinations. And in no particular order, but I would rate them, you know, based on budget: Zanzibar, Mauritius, Seychelles, Maldives. And that's kind of the thought process. Your Mozambique does fall into that as well. It does fall part of that, but you can count a couple, you know, put in the same line, Zanzibar and Mozambique there. There is some very, very nice parts of Mozambique that you can go see. And talking about Mozambique, there is a travel warning that's out there.
Yeah, of course, right at the moment. There's a whole lot of unrest going on.
Sure. We do have like a split, 30-30-30. Some people still say we want to go. Some people say we're not going. Some people say we'll play by ear. So, you know, just be very, very careful with Mozambique at the moment. And I want to touch on a tip right at the end. So just remind me before I finish that. And then the last destination, which is also a very, very popular destination, Torvest is very big on it. We've got Torvest-owned companies in that area is Victoria Falls. I've just been there in April last year.
That's magic.
Listen, it's a beautiful experience. Oof. And it's in Africa, so go see it. Just be there. I think you've been there.
Yeah, and it's not far, man. I mean, you get in a plane and you can be there in an hour and a half.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so nothing on Equatorial Guinea?
I'm not specializing in that area at the moment. Sorry.
There's a guy called Tabo in the comments who's like,
I think Tabo could help you there.
Tabo, let us know if there's any specials on you.
Right. Okay, so the last thing you wanted to say?
So the last tip is, you know, in this day and age, I mean, obviously people might still be like a bit cautious around travel. COVID happened, and how do we travel and how do we make sure that we still, you know, kind of covered and all good? Travel insurance. Yeah. Travel insurance is a big thing. You asked me at the beginning of our talk now, worst case scenario, do people lose all of their money or does it ever happen? Travel insurance is very important. You take travel insurance, medical situations, if you're international, they cover that, you know, to a point where if you get hospitalized, you don't even need to call them to authorize anything.
And you don't want to worry about that.
100%. Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, even small things, something like lost luggage. Mm. You know, you got your Gucci glasses and they get stolen out of the bag. You know, stuff like that. You know,
it's comparatively, I mean, depends who you go to, obviously, but it's comparatively cheap. And to not have it and then something goes wrong. Oof. Disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
100%.
Just saw Azalea says here in the comments, she said she just had to cancel a December holiday trip to Mozambique. They were gracious enough to refund us.
Nice.
Okay. Nice. Japan is in demand. They devalued their currency. Donna says my next destination is Turkey. Oof. If you want to ski or snowboard, go to Japan, says Bitcoin Boots. Okay, lots and lots of suggestions, but thank you. Thanks, absolutely. Solomon. Very good to see you, dude.
And if they want to get in touch with us, travel.co.za.
There we go.
We are a Torvest company, so we are owned by Torvest and operating under the Torvest umbrella. I'm going to drop my email. I'm going to be very, very, very bold.
Okay, that's brave of you. Let's go.
At travel.co.za.
Just say it again.
At solomon.ramafalo@travel.co.za. And the contact number is 011-790-0101. I'll say it again, 011-790-0101. Reach out to us anytime.
Cool.
Really. And we'll make your holiday happen, you know?
This man knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And, let's go on holiday now.
Yeah. So from now you're a VIP leisure travel. Yeah.
Solomon.
But just speak to Solomon. Don't waste your time. Hello? Could I speak to a consultant? Hello, I want to speak to Solomon.
Yes, please.
All right. This is very, very good. Go to travel.co.za. Like Solomon says, and it's all very good advice. Plan the thing properly. Don't get on the phone with him and go, all right, so what are the options? Because he's got a million options, you heard.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the man is there to help you. And if you want to know more, go to travel.co.za. Thank you so much, Solomon.
No problem. And I'm looking forward to you two gents booking holidays with me.
Yeah, 100%.
We don't even know what we're doing in December, and that's like around the corner.
Next year, I need to book one.
Come see me.
Maybe we should plan far enough in advance.
Yeah.
Get our shit together for a change. Instead of just waiting for the next Bakuzi.
I'm due an overseas trip.
The one that James is organizing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm due a good overseas trip again.
Thanks very much.
I love these suggestions too. I mean, the idea of Japan has always been a really exciting one, I think. And it is, of course, it's an expensive place and it's far away. But if you really are curious about that country, I think that's a good place to go and put on your bucket list.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good advice all the way from Solomon. We'll be back in a moment or two. Cooks is with me. It is a Wednesday morning on the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. Don't go anywhere.